Looking Good Dead by Peter James. Read by Neil Pearson. The front door of the once proud terraced house opened, and a long-legged young woman, in a short silk dress that seemed to both cling and float at the same time, stepped out into the fine June sunshine on the last morning of her life. A century back, these tall white villas, just a pebble's throw from Brighton's seafront, would have served as weekend residences for London toffs. Now, they were chopped up into bedsits and low-rent flats. Litter spewed from garbage bags onto the pavements, and several of the cars that lined the street were dented and rusting, and all of them were saturation-bombed with seagull shit. In contrast, everything about the young woman oozed class. The careless toss of her long fair hair, the Mediterranean tan, the Cartier bracelet, the Anya Hindmarsh bag slung from her shoulder. Not bad for a law student, scraping by as a trainee with a firm of Brighton solicitors. She reached her red and white Mini Cooper, opened the door, and sat for a moment, thinking about stuff she needed to do. In her lunch break, she needed to buy a birthday card for her father. He'd be 55 on Friday, and was worried about his business, which seemed to be going through a rough patch. She hadn't seen him for a month, and living 50 miles away from him didn't help. The beep of an incoming text broke her chain of thought. She checked the screen. Tonight, 8:30? Jenny Stretton smiled and replied with a brief kiss-kiss. Binns, her moggy, had a lump on his back she didn't like the look of. She wanted to take him to the vet to get it checked. She'd try to get a late appointment today. Clicking on her seatbelt, she was totally unaware of the long lens trained on her, over 200 yards away, and the quiet whirring of the digital Pentax camera. She was real eye candy, he thought, watching her through the steady crosshairs. Even after days and nights of watching her, 24/7, inside her flat and outside, it was still a treat. She's coming now, he said into his mobile phone. I'm on the train, the big, overweight, baby-faced dickhead shouted into his mobile phone. The train! T-R-A-I-N, yeah. Yeah, it's a bad line. Then they went into a tunnel. Suddenly the carriage smelled of old socks and soot. Oh, fuck, the dickhead said. Hunched on his seat between the dickhead on his right and a girl wearing a sickly sweet perfume on his left, Tom Bryce suppressed a grin. Beads of sweat trickled down the nape of his neck. He was steadily wilting in the stifling heat. The temperature inside the carriage was about 90. On a blank advertising panel opposite him, someone had spray-painted Seagulls Wankers in clumsy black letters. Half a minute later, the dickhead stabbed a button and the nightmare continued. Just went through a tunnel. Yeah. Tom tried to tune him out and concentrate on the emails on his wobbling Mac laptop. Just another shitty end to another shitty day at the office. He read and replied to a complaint, yet another key customer angry that an order hadn't arrived in time for a big summer function. Personalised pens this time, printed golfing umbrellas previously. His whole ordering and shipping department was in a mess. Two big customers, Avis Car Rentals and Apple Computers, lost to competitors in 1 week. Terrific. The company name, Bricewright, had been his wife Kelly's idea. A tad corny, he'd thought at the time, but as she'd pointed out, it was a name people would easily remember. Bricewright supplied business gifts and promotional clothing to companies and clubs. Its product lines ranged from overprinted pens, calculators, mouse pads, and executive desk toys, to t-shirts, baseball caps, sportswear, and trophies. But the business was creaking under the weight of debts. He'd expanded too fast, just as he was overmortgaged at home. He should never have let Kelly convince him to trade up houses, not when the market was moving down.